There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. Hour number two of Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. My name is Sean. You may get in touch with the show. Lots of ways to do that through the Ascension Technologies text line at 343-0106. Same for a good old-fashioned phone call, 343-0106. Or you can leave a talkback message using the FM Talk 106.5 app. Let's get started to hear the breaking news. Hamas has said... I don't know which representative, but I'm just reading headlines as they come across. Hamas has said they're open to discussions over a truce with Israel. Now, I tell you, the idea, I'm not a member of the squad, you know, I'm not a anti-Israel person, but the idea of peace in a powder keg that is the Middle East that involves right now Iran as a proxy, you know, with their proxy Hamas in there. You've got the Hezbollah, and you know, Hezbollah now has taken some shots in on the north side. Hezbollah originally did launch some missiles, but it was, I guess, a solidarity strike early on. They do this where there's a portion of disputed land there, too, that the Hezbollah will attack Israel or shoot kind of perfunctory rockets in. But now it seems like there's more of an issue there with Hezbollah in the mix. Both, you know, while Hamas and Hezbollah are not the same, Hezbollah is starting to work with Iran, maybe not as much as Hamas, but to some degree. And you've got to, I mean, you've got a powder keg there. You've got so many different players involved. Syria, of course, what's the situation with Syria? Egypt is acting like, okay, they could be a peace broker. Qatar has said they could be a peace broker. Of course, that all based around the, you know, the falling apart of the Saudi-Israel understanding. I don't think it was a true, you know, the understanding or the compact between those two. But so Hamas says they're now open to discussions of a truce with Israel. And that's why I went ahead and said that I'm not, you know, not somebody looking for Israel not to be able to defend itself, but I am somebody who tries to look for peace, you know, when it's possible. But of course Hamas says that. I mean, that's I go up and I, you know what, you're 6'5", and I walk up and I punch you, and I'm not 6'5", by the way, I'm on a good day 5'10". I come punch you, and then as you rear back to mop the floor with me, I go, wait, man, wait. Can't we come to an understanding here and have a truce before you punch back? So, I mean, that's what this is. As much as I'm not a turn Gaza into glass, because there are still human beings there that aren't part of Hamas, to say that Israel can't strike back now at the people who just did that because they want to have a truce with them. I think that's a little early. I think that's a little early there. But yeah, Hamas is now, as Israel at any point is going to roll in, physically roll in to Gaza. And if that, I mean, it may happen by the end of the show. I think Netanyahu is supposed to speak here shortly. But for Hamas to say, yeah, okay, well, how about a truce? That shouldn't hold their breath on that one. All right, a bunch of texts from last hour. Let's get to these at 343-0106, 343-0106. This unnamed texter says, they did it for you, Sean. Oh, this is when talking about the redistricting. They did it for you, Sean. You couldn't reach where your guests are from. They brought District 2 to you, so don't raise the bridge, lower the water. I'm sure you got access to where you wanted, but the District 2 came to you, and your station is now in District 2. You wanted President Montgomery. You got that. Go, Cat, go. Listen, there's a part of it. I mean, I could be completely mercenary about it and say, now I have, you know, two congressional districts that are covered. Portions are covered by this radio station. So, yeah, I mean, there's a mercenary angle, but the number one thing I am is somebody who lives here in Southwest Alabama. I'm a homeboy, and I want what's best for us in Southwest Alabama. All right, on to Israel. This unnamed texter said, who cares about Israel? Not our country, not our war. The Bible says anyone that goes against Israel will fall. Let them fall on their own. Let's not waste American blood and money on this. A lot of unnamed texters here. Okay, unnamed. Do you poke the wasp nest? If you poke the wasp nest, you're going to get stung. My friend Supermom, what's up, Supermom? Said Hamas really pulled a red dawn on Israel. Yeah, it is. I mean, to the paraglider part of it, right, Supermom? I mean, that was unreal. And the fact that I'm still blown away with the intelligence apparatus of Israel, let alone the United States, and being our ally, that we didn't feel this. Even if you didn't hack communications and cell phones, I mean, in somewhere like the Gaza Strip, you're moving that many munitions in. And Israel's got spies all through the Gaza Strip, of course, that somebody wouldn't say, you know, there's a weird thing. For the last few months, there have been trucks coming in or however they were getting them in. It's something. But back to Supermom's text said, Hamas really pulled a red dawn on Israel. I do not understand how they pulled this off. And the fact that Hamas is boldly showing kidnapped women being drugged through the streets by her hair with zip tie handcuffs and blood on parts of her body showing that they've been sexually assaulted. I saw it too. Supermom says, truly sickening. I saw it too. Bringing it back to America, I keep thinking about our southern border being wide open, and I am worried. Damn Yankee says, the reason Mr. Carl doesn't understand how terrorists can hate other people is because Mr. Carl is an American. No Americans can comprehend this type of hate or terrorism. Unnamed texter said he is wrong on that point. I can think of one person that would be totally worse. Okay, referring to Biden, that would be Kamala Harris. Hal. So Hal says, what is different about what Hamas is doing in Israel and what the Russians are doing in Ukraine? Killing women and children. Check. Kidnapping. Check. GOP has become the good old Putin party under the guise of America first. Russia's been killing civilians for over a year, taking hostages for over a year, yet the grand old Putin party wants to cut them off in the name of America first. What's the difference? It's worth asking, right? I'll say this. If you want to look at allies that have tenure, could you have tenure in allies? If you have tenure in allies, Israel outranks Ukraine in tenure. But when does it stop? There's something to be said when the power vacuum is left by the United States. Quite often it's filled by people that are distasteful to the United States. But can you fill every vacuum? You have enough fingers to plug the dike in every spot? So I don't know. And that's why, and I asked Congressman about that with what assistance we would give Israel. Israel is not Ukraine in so many ways. Obviously, landmass is smaller, but I have a feeling that Israel has better stock coffers through American tax dollars and their own tax dollars buying munitions than Ukraine. They have the supplies that were drawn out sending to Ukraine, I think, in stock, in store now. Grant, all right, said, Sean, we're off today. Yeah, Columbus Day today. Which, by the way, and I heard Jeff start his show, and I get it. I could do the thing you expect any conservative talk show host to say, yeah, it's Columbus Day and it'll never be Indigenous Peoples Day. How about we do both? It goes back to the Robert E. Lee's birthday and MLK Day. Separate the days, Alabama. And nationally, I think it's absolutely valid to have an Indigenous Peoples Day. But to say you got to pick one or the other, it's Columbus, Jeff's like, right, nobody can mention Indigenous Peoples Day. Well, then let's make them different days. I mean, Columbus Day, you've got, they celebrate, with parades down in Miami. People lose their mind with a regatta down there. Even though, I don't know how many Italians were at the regatta in Biscayne Bay, but they're having fun. Columbus Day, and set another day for Indigenous Peoples Day. So to brush that off and say that's not important, I completely disagree with my friend and fellow co-host here at FM Talk. But Grant said, Sean, we're off today. We're driving to Mississippi to get Powerball tickets. If we win, I got y'all. Thank you. Thank you, Grant, because when I was on my trip to Utah, I found a couple new ranches here that I think I need to acquire. So I will need some of that money. If you can help me out on that, that would be an important thing. What is Powerball up to now? Is it, I don't keep, as you know, when the news headlines come on, like it's rolled over again and it's you know, it's a billion or something now. So Grant, let me know. All right, we'll come back to the text, but let's go to the phone lines at 343-0106. And Patrick, up next. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, what's up, Sean? Hey, man. So the comparison Ukraine, Russia, and Israel thing, it's not apples to apples. People know that. They're just being stupid. This situation, you know, this is what I'm tired of. I am so sick and dang tired of the media more or less brainwashing the American public. Trump's bad guy, You don't elect a politician as a role model just like athletes aren't a role model. They're there to run a country or entity just like athletes are there for the talent, period. Now, name me one thing, if Trump's so bad and you dislike Trump so bad, and he, and all this stuff, name me one thing to this level that happened during Trump's presidency.
You can't name it. No, you can't name it.
The garbage with Russia wouldn't happen.
Right.
The garbage with Iran didn't happen. The garbage with China didn't happen. The North Korea stuff stopped. None of this garbage happened. You know why? And this is what the American public needs to understand. Israel don't need America's help. They are perfectly content on their own and can defend themselves. They need America to get out of the way. You got morons up at the White House telling them to, oh, hold back, practice restraint. I'd go in there and I'd obliterate that whole Gaza Strip if I was them and tell everybody to kiss my rear end.
I'll put you down as undecided, Patrick. Thanks for, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. And you're right. You know, you didn't have that during Trump. Now, somebody could argue, well, it's just, you know, the nature of the cycle of these conflicts. I don't know. That's back to what I said to the congressman, that while the, I guess the bumper sticker part of it is, oh, you know, they gave, they unfroze the $6 billion in assets, and those $6 billion in assets were used to fund Hamas in this attack in Israel. I don't know, maybe, but I mean, Iran's got some folding money, even without that. They've been funding Hamas for a long time. I think it was a lack of strength shown by repatriating, unfreeze, whatever term you want, of those of the $6 billion. It wasn't like, here's $6 billion, now we can go buy some of these rockets and give them to Hamas. They were giving them to Hamas as it was. This operation's been, if you look at the Wall Street Journal reporting, which has been fantastic over the weekend, that this was August, or, you know, even maybe even before. So I think what it did is it showed, if you're in Iran and you're trying to gauge, okay, can we do this, have Hamas do this and not have, you know, a missile barrage, which I do not want. I'm not looking to engage Iran, nuclear power, in war. But I mean, are they gauging whether they're going to get a missile coming straight into Tehran or not on that? Let's see, we'll run the news. Okay, run the news, y'all. What we got? Okay, we'll go to the break and come back because we got a ton of texts coming in here. Get your texts and phone calls on at 343-0106, 343-0106. It's Midday Mobile on FM Talk 1065.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right to 122, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Monday. I want y'all to say hello to my buddy Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And Ron, with everything going on in the news, it's, you know, you pointed out over time how these prices with precious metals and they are related to the news cycle. Kind of, what's happened with precious metals last week and what's it looking like this week?
Last week, we had a continuing drop or depression in the metals prices, mainly because the U.S. dollar and bond prices were so strong. The dollar went up and it lowered the price of the commodities just based on the fact that the dollar value was stronger, so it would buy more, which is really surprising based on how much money the U.S. government seems to want to spend and borrow, I should say. But this week, it's starting to climb again, so things are turning around. You know, of course, you have the stuff going on with Israel and Hamas, so that actually helps, you know, strengthen metals. For it's unfortunate those people have to suffer, mm-hmm. but metal prices, it didn't shoot through the roof. It was probably up a few percentile points today. So the markets are still open, even though it's a holiday. It's just if markets keep trading.
Okay, so then if we're talking about the prices may continue to go up, people are looking for, you know, those gold or silver rounds for Christmas, all those great gift ideas. I mean, even me goes, okay, maybe I should get some shopping done early.
Oh, yeah, we sold a lot of gold and silver last week. It was a great opportunity for people to add to their hedge or just buy an investment-grade coin. It was made of gold or silver because prices were down a smidge. And, of course, they haven't rebounded totally, but they have started to climb again. So it's still a really good time to add to your hedge or just come by the shop and talk to us, and we'll explain what a hedge is and how to set it up.
And, y'all, I've been telling you over time, you get a great selection and a great selection of education when it comes to precious metals when you see Ron and the crew at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Tell folks how to find you.
We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can look us up on the web at mobilebaycoins.com or give us a call, 251-725-1590.
Thanks, Ron.
You're welcome. Glad you're back.
Hey, thanks. Ron checking in from Mobile Bay Coins. And we'll check in on this Ascension Technologies text line as well. So Sean from Baldwin County said, of course, Hamas would be open to discussions. Israel's getting ready to go scorched earth on them. Yeah, Sean, it's like me walking up and punching the rock, you know, and then said, you see, what had happened was, Rock, I was just joking. Larry and Daphne said, personally, I think what's going to happen is that Israel is going to put the hurt on the Gaza Strip and Hamas. The Dome of the Rock will get destroyed in the conflict. Israel will get the Temple Mount back and build the third temple. Well, listen, Larry, there's, you know, you probably do hashtag revelations out there, you know, but I mean, people have done that before. Said, oh, this is it. But it's, you're not the first person, Larry, to roll that out here over the last 48 hours for sure. Damn Yankee said, to people who think it's not our war, somebody said earlier, not our war, right? Damn Yankee said, to people who think it's not our war, read up before you speak. After, Hamas eliminates the Jews, the Christians are next on their list. Supermom said, and can we talk about the huge pro-Palestinian rallies in New York City, Chicago, Anaheim, Salt Lake City, Washington, D.C., Dallas celebrating the Israeli slaughter? What's going to happen here when Israel wins or America has to get involved? Which, by the way, the Salt Lake thing, Supermom, like Utah, pretty conservative. I was out in the, you know, in the country. But talking to friends there, that Salt Lake is as a city is pretty darn liberal. It was interesting. It didn't spend a lot of time, just airport in, airport out. Pretty liberal, Salt Lake. So, Anderson from Foley says Biden and his administration should have invited Iran's Hezbollah and Hamas to their barbecue this weekend and work things out. Yeah, that's right. Now, also it said. Yeah, when people talking about the, I don't know. I mean, that seems like it's easy bait that there was a lawn party going on at the White House or something for staff. And while this, you know, basically fiddling while Rome burns kind of thing. Maybe not. I think what's a bigger tell is a show of weakness. Like I'm less worried about the music coming from the White House lawn. Less worried about that and more worried about the fact that we show weakness with Iran and Iran goes, okay, you're weak and we're going to strike. All right, let's take some calls here at 343-0106. Next up, Robert. Robert, what do you want to talk about?
Hey, Sean.
Hey, man.
There's apparently at colleges all over the country or universities, whatever the end term is. I wonder if one of our local news media, which, by the way, I doubt this, you may have to send a man out to find out, are there any Palestinian rallies or support at University of South Alabama?
I don't know.
Have you heard anything on that?
I have not.
Well, now, I don't want anybody to misunderstand my position on this. I mean, but I'm just curious, you know, are there? I guess a lot of these Palestinians, I don't know if all of them are Muslim or some of them are Muslim. I don't know what the ratio breaks down, but, there is a mosque right out there across the street from South Alabama. And I just wonder if one of our news stations would send a crew out there and see what their views are.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I mean, if we see anything on that, I mean, we'll definitely report on it. And Robert, though, you know what Congressman Carl said last hour, I thought was a pretty darn good analogy. And not saying, because he said, you know, you're talking about people of Muslim faith. He said, you know, that Hamas, now there are a lot of people, a lot more people, I would say, in this ratio than the comparison. But he's saying, you know, Ku Klux Klan claims to be a Christian organization, too. And majority of Christians would say, well, they're not Christians. So, you know, as you look at it here stateside, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, we've seen this before. We'll see what the rallies are. There is a kind of a chic to being anti-Israel out there. So even beyond people that would be from the Middle East, there's a chic to it with white bread Americans, right? I mean, look at Randall Woodfin. Randall Woodfin puts a tweet out saying he stands with Israel, and he gets just bludgeoned by his followers there and removes his tweet. I mean, that's something. Mixer says you keep making up these holidays and putting them on different days. The bank ain't never going to be open again. That might be Mixer. They always find a reason to have a holiday, right? Grant says if you get just it's $1.55 billion. Okay, and so that's what Jamie said as well. You just get five numbers. Grant says if you just get five numbers out of the Powerball, you get $1 million. All right, some folding money. Some folding money. CB Carl, why would anyone try anything with our allies after Biden showed the world our resolve in Afghanistan? Yeah, well, I mean, that's I'm with you. Gary says Nagasaki and Hiroshima stopped the war. The next one's going to be the Gaza Strip in Iran and done. All right, coming back to the text line at 343-0106 and the phone lines, 343-0106. This is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right at 1:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. Time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars and get a week started with an inventory report. Hey, David.
Hey, good afternoon, Sean. Yeah, we've got a couple of trade-ins from over the weekend. We got one's a 98 model Ford F-150. I know you don't hear me say 98 too often. Seems like it's older, but these are real desirable-looking little trucks. It's a regular cab, step-side V8, so a two-wheel drive, but it's red. Good looking truck, cash car, something can be bought, you know, under $9,000 for a truck. That's hard to find. And then we also traded in a 2012 Mercedes SL550, Roadster, and it's got the panoramic roof in it. So the whole top is glass and it's also a power folding convertible top.
Ooh.
And it's a gorgeous silver car.
Man. All right. So you got some people's attention there. Let's talk about financing. How's it looking?
Financing is great. I mean, we've had really good. All of our lenders are still buying with decent rates in comparison to everything else out there. I mean, our rates are pretty much stayed relatively the same. And then we've got, you know, the secondary finance companies that are buying. So you just if you need an opportunity, you need to come see us. 251-375-0068. Call us.
Good deal. David, we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, there he is, David McCrary, checking in from LCM Motor Cars. And somebody's saying something about that bear story on USA. No, that's about New Jersey, right? So New Jersey, who had to shut down, I think the governor there had shut down years ago, their bear season. And they had then obviously had issues because they had more bears than population could handle or the land could handle. Now they're coming back and they're getting fought on. So yeah, it's a New Jersey story. Somebody's asking about the bears. New Jersey, I mean, they have, people say, well, they have more bears than they don't. They have pretty dense population because they only have so much area that's wooded. So they have a very dense population, but like, I think there were 5,000 or 8,000 in the population in New Jersey. You look over in Pennsylvania, the Keystone State, and I think it's like 16,000, 18,000 bears there. So, but that's New Jersey. We might talk about that on the outdoor show this weekend, right? The Hamas thing. So it's Hamas is saying that they're interested in the truce. That's interesting. Now, breaking news, Hezbollah is firing on North Israel. Okay, so this Hezbollah thing, and I'm wondering if it gets ramped up more than it was at the start of this, because earlier, like maybe it was Sunday, maybe yesterday or Saturday, it kind of all blends together. Hezbollah had also fired rockets. So Hamas does their attack and Hezbollah fires rockets, you know, from Lebanon into Israel. And it has done this in the past because there's an area there, like so many areas that Israel has had to take and claim to hold Golan Heights. I mean, pick your areas that it has to occupy. So there's I don't know what it's called, something farms or something like that in North Israel, Shabbat farms, this area that Lebanon and Hezbollah says is theirs. Israel's occupying it. It seems like with some regularity, they'll fire rockets into there. And now it's coming back that I guess they're firing more because they fired some and then they didn't, like for a day or so. And now back, I guess, is what the headline saying that Hezbollah, so that's, you know, obviously another group, Hamas coming out of the Gaza Strip, Hezbollah coming out of Lebanon, firing more rockets into Israel. I don't know if they're going beyond just that Sheba Farms area or not. And they have support from Iran. I think Hamas has more support than Hezbollah, but Hezbollah still has support from Iran as well. So, another front on the north for Israel right now, as it looks like at any point, and Netanyahu being scheduled to talk tells me that's probably going to be the start of this discussion as Israel will go into Gaza, physically go into Gaza. Yes, 9 Americans now killed in the Hamas strikes on Israel. That's what's coming out of, information out from the State Department. No word from the White House on that, no comment yet. But you have, 900 Israelis dead. However, thousands injured, hundreds kidnapped. And I have not heard if there are, and they're probably waiting to have that information come out, if there are any Americans that are hostages there as well. But we know that there are hundreds of hostages. And now the word out that Hamas is going to, every strike that Israel does, Hamas is going to kill one of the hostages as Israel strikes in there, which is, like I said, this is the poison decision for Netanyahu, which I really actually don't maybe understand the calculus of Hamas on that. You'd think they would just use them as human shields, right, for their places and use it to protect them from Israeli attacks. But they said every attack Israel does, they're going to execute one of the hostages out there. That is not, not started yet, but I guess that's what's rolling out. Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at the headlines coming across the screen here, trying to figure that out. Somebody asked him, what district do I... Okay, so if we go back to this discussion, we'll probably have more of this on tomorrow's show as well. If you haven't looked, there's a... And I can... Maybe we can put this up through our Facebook page or through our Twitter feed. The detail map, the street level map for remedial map number 3, which is the new congressional district 2 and 1. How it's good. So... City of Mobile, like I said earlier, Mardi Gras now will roll through the streets of District 2. The majority of Mobile, it's down to, unless you're West Mobile, so you get past like Schillinger, and then to the south side of Airport on Schillinger, it's Dawes, that's in District 2 now, going the whole way up through the city of Mobile. To the north, like Saraland, Satsuma stay in District 1. Chickasaw is in District 2. And it looks like, and some parts of Saraland are going to be in District 2 as well. So, a lot of that, it's kind of new, even though that map came out last week while I was gone. A lot of people have not even had time to look at it and study that. So we'll talk about that in the days to come. Also, there's a couple stories we hadn't even gotten into here. The story of the homeless, moving them from Biloxi to Mobile. Read Rob Holbert's commentary in the Landyap addendum, the Sunday brunch that came out yesterday. I'll add to this that I think I can say I know that this is not brand new, and not just Biloxi taking homeless people to Mobile, but Mobile in the past taking them to Pensacola, Pensacola taking them to Mobile, and dropping them off. So we'll have more time this week to get in that discussion. Hopefully I'll get Rob on to talk about it. But that is, even though the headline's coming out after Public Safety Director Barber says, hey, you know, here's what Biloxi's doing, moving homeless people into Mobile and dropping them off. And I think he's probably accurate in his assessment here. But at the same time, you have a history of this going on in the past. So we'll address that as well. All right. So and then yeah, we can get more into what this means for the redistricting going into, because people are asking me now, where do they vote? You go look at the map. There's a lot of y'all listening that will be voting in a different district than ever before. So heads up on that one. All right. Let me grab one more text here before we got to run to the news. The powder keg. Oh, listen, you talk about the U.S. forces that have been moved into the Eastern Mediterranean. I think that's a show of resolve. I think it's a show of support for Israel. Are we going to be launching missions and flying with the I wouldn't think so. I mean, but Lord knows, the last year or two will make you scratch your head. So, I think the idea of moving parts of our naval assets closer to Israel is a show of support more than it is like go sign. But like I said, give it 24 hours and see where we are. All right, head to the news. And coming back, it's time for a checkup. Dr. Matthew Michaud, one of my absolute favorite guests on Time for a Checkup, joins us in just a few minutes here on FM Talk 106.5 and online at fmtalk1065.com.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5, and it's time for a checkup. And it's always great to see Dr. Michael Michaud from Southern Cancer Center back in studio. We've talked, it's always new science horizons when you come in, Dr. Michaud. And, you know, we talked about tumor profiling and the genetic code of a tumor, right?
Correct.
Its own genetic code.
It does.
Which is different than my genetic code.
Yes. I mean, every cell in your body has a set of chromosomes and genes, your genome, and it's unique to you. And we've now, after the genomic program, we've learned how to look at these genes and profile them. And, you know, it's available just by mail with things like 23andMe for $100, you can get your ancestry and figure out where you came from and where your family came from. We actually found a cousin I didn't know we had.
Yep. You get those pings on there. You go, hey, this has got to be your cousin or second cousin. Yeah.
Depending on how deeply you get into it and how much money you want to spend on your somatic genome profile, you can determine if you have a predisposition to certain types of diseases and
so you don't listen to this, because most people just go, oh, I found out where we're from, and then they stop. But you're saying with that sample, that swab or that sample they've taken, the blood sample, if you go further, and in your world at Southern Cancer Center of Cancer, there are signs that you have predilection to something or it will happen or
there are genes that predispose you to certain types of cancer. The most common one that most people are aware of is the BRCA gene, BRCA, breast cancer gene.
Okay.
And if you have this BRCA1 or BRCA2, your risk of breast cancer, lifetime risk, say your mother had breast cancer, mm-hmm. and she was BRCA positive, and you're an 18-year-old woman and you go in and get tested and you're BRCA positive, your lifetime risk of breast cancer can be as high as 80%.
Oh, wow.
So you don't know when it's going to happen, but you know you've got a lifetime risk. Instead of an 8% lifetime risk, which is the normal breast cancer risk, yours is 80%. What do you do about it?
Yeah, what do you do about it?
Well, you know, basically you get informed. You say, let's say you've got an 80% risk of breast cancer and a 50% risk of ovarian cancer. What we typically advise these women to do is get through their childbearing age, have all the children they want to have, and then have bilateral mastectomies and have both their ovaries removed.
And don't have a place for that cancer to manifest.
Right.
Okay, so, and I, because I want to come, but I'm going to go on the rabbit trail for a second. So in that lady, you take out those places where she is at high risk for cancer. Does that end the story, or will that, is there another cancer that fills in its place? You see what I'm saying? Is there?
No, their risk.
It's very specific to
their risk is a breast and ovarian cancer.
So if they get rid of the tissue that where that would come from, that risk
it lowers their risk of those cancers.
Because yes. There's not a place for it to start.
Correct.
Okay. So in this report card we're getting through the mapping of the genome, and you're looking at this, it gives you. Does it give you, like, just say, yes, you have a chance? Because I mean, we always talk about heredity, right? Now, you've been asked, Lord knows, as a physician working on cancer, well, you know, my family has this or this is. But that's kind of, okay, that's not a specific amount, right? Because you see people that they had a big family history of cancer and then that person never got it. Or this other family didn't seem to have a cancer history and then that person got it. With this, are you giving us stuff like you said, 30%, 50%, is it that specific that it can
pretty much, yes. If you've got...
It's not just you have a chance. It's no, you have a 30% chance. You have a 50. You have an 80.
Yes. If you have particular genes,
right,
like the BRCA gene, we can give you a pretty good estimate of what your lifetime risk is. If you've got the von Hippel-Lindau gene, the VHL gene, it increases your risk of kidney cancer, and we can tell you what your risk is. The problem is you can't go removing your kidneys.
Right.
You can remove your breasts and ovaries.
Right.
But you can't remove your kidneys, but...
So what do you do in that
you
situation?
You can be vigilant, and you can get scans every year or two looking for the development of a kidney cancer. And when it does occur, hopefully you'll find it early and can remove it without removing the whole kidney.
Yeah, and if you know you're looking for a specific threat, you know, and it's whatever in life, but specifically here with cancer, you know to be... If you say, well, there's some chance you'll get some cancer, you might not be as vigilant as you say, yeah, you got this high chance for kidney cancer. I think that motivates the person to get checked regularly. If you, you know, it's if you know there's a real good shot at something happening,
you know what to look for.
Then you show up at the doctor, get tested.
Yeah, and you know what to look for. And with these genetic tests, you can even predict that you're at a high risk for things like Alzheimer's disease. Now, we don't know what to do about that, but you can be vigilant.
It's, and I wonder when this, you know, people fear this information some, right? It's like this.
I don't blame them.
Yeah, I mean, it's like this information's out there and people go, well, it's all out there on me. Okay, but it's out there. So let's use it for our own, to our benefit, to have some kind of roadmap of what we could face. If you have a specific kind of cancer that you have these higher chances for, also, this is what we've talked about with earlier when you were on with tumor profiling. There are drugs specific, like you could have this idea that I'm going to need this kind of drug, right? I'm going to need this to attack it and maybe even have somebody ready with that process.
Well, you know, that's not as big a concern as the concern that we've all had from the time this technology became developed was that people would use it against you.
Sure. I mean, that's always been like, talked about. They got all the information on you, Sean. Now they'll keep you from getting whatever.
If you ran a big insurance company and mm-hmm. you had a patient that had this BRCA gene and has an 80% chance of getting breast cancer and a 50% chance of ovarian cancer, would you insure?
No.
Well, now you have to. There's legislation that doesn't allow them to discriminate based on that.
So there is that protection there from it. So, okay, so that information, well, we had...
And this is what HIPAA was developed to prevent people getting your information and using it to not hire you or not give you insurance.
Right, because that was a fear, Dr. Misha,
yes.
That you would have this dossier on you, a medical dossier that would be in front of you and people would deny things because of what's on there.
Yes, that was a fear.
On the chance that these things would happen.
But I think we've covered that, and it's, you know, it's not a reason not to have your genes looked at.
And what you're saying, too, is this place where most people stop with these genomic projects is find, oh, they came from, you know, Ireland or whatever, my people. You can go further with that. They have enough sample there to give you this next slate of information.
Yes. Right? I mean, right now, most people use it as a recreational
thing.
Sure,
absolutely.
But you can, it's the same technology taken to the next level that gives you the medical information.
Do you believe soon or that people will like almost hold that? Like I have a file on my computer with that, you know, the way you have this thing and you're going, oh, look, that's a new picture of Grandma Lizzie came in or whatever on the
and
thing.
And here's her genes.
Yeah. And here's her genes. And that you wonder if you'll have a part of that website or a you know, a digital wallet that you could take with you with that information, because that would obviously be important for a physician too, that you're going to see if you had that information.
I think as technology develops and it becomes more practical, yes, that'll probably be important.
Like I'd walk in and say, okay, here's my, you know.
I worked in a genetics lab as a medical student, and before I would marry my wife, I did her chromosomes.
Not buying your stuff. I'm not buying it.
It's a fact.
If people want to obviously see about very specific and targeted cancer treatment, that's what y'all do at Southern Cancer Center. And people can come in and set an appointment and kind of see what predictors are out there. Can I walk in and say, hey, I just got this back from 23andMe and it says this?
Now, what you can do is call and say, my mother has breast cancer. I'd like a genetic evaluation. And we have people that do genetic counseling.
So
they'll check the genes if it's appropriate.
Because they'll say, hey, we got this heredity of it. But will the flip side, I imagine the flip side happens too, though. Mother had breast cancer and they come in and maybe they don't have as high of a chance of it, right? I mean, and sometimes
when we do the genes, we may not find a hereditary cause of breast cancer
because it can come.
It can be just out of the blue. Okay. Bad luck.
Well, then get your profile as it goes to your heredity and your chances of cancer with Southern Cancer Center. Dr. Michaud, as always, thank you.
Thank you.